All right, everybody. I would like to welcome you guys to the first ever Rage in the Cage Oklahoma podcast. This show is going to be covering Oklahoma MMA and the fighters that come to fight in Oklahoma. And there was only one person we could get to host this show that we felt at Madhouse would give the fans truly a great look at the sport. And I want to bring on the host, a lady that I'm very honored and proud to have been working with for some time and look for a great future with between the show and Rage in the Cage Productions, and that is Kimber Schaefer. How are you doing tonight, young lady?
I'm doing great. Wow, perfect introduction. I'm very honored at that for sure. Very excited about this.
You know, for the folks out there, because we got about 8-9 minutes before we're going to go and get the first guest in queue and bring them on live air. So for everyone out there, why don't you touch a little bit on who you are and a little bit about the promotion that you work for?
Okay. Well, as you mentioned, my name is Kimber Schaefer. I'm married, have 4 young kids, Oklahoma born and bred. You know, if you hear me saying y'all a lot, you'll know why. Seriously, I don't say that a whole bunch, but you know, now you know. I've basically worked in media since high school, oddly enough. I started my first internship in TV really before I was even legal to drive. My parents had to drive me to and from the TV studio, and you know, on weekends when other kids were going out to parties, I was at the TV studio running the teleprompter, so it's kind of in my blood, I would say. Graduated from the University of Oklahoma with a broadcast journalism degree, and was hired immediately after graduating from college with the Oklahoma City CBS affiliate, which is News 9 here in Oklahoma City. And believe it or not, I do have some radio experience. Unfortunately, it's been more than a decade ago, so you guys will just have to bear with me as I learn the ropes all over again. But super excited about being with Rage in the Cage. I started with Rage in the Cage back in October, and I love MMA. I've always been a fan of Rage in the Cage, but I, you know, after having 4 kids, kind of back-to-back pregnancies, I was kind of out of the media game for a while there, and I mean, the opportunity just kind of, you know, handed itself to me, and it's been really an awesome experience. So many good people, so many fighters that have come into my life, and I mean, you know, it's just been about 6 months now, but they've honestly become friends to me. And so, you know, I support them from, you know, some of them just starting their careers, and other ones are going off to Bellator and UFC and that sort of thing. And so I've really enjoyed being with Rage in the Cage and just seeing Rage in the Cage's growth over the past 6 months. We've had sellout shows. The past 6 or 7 shows have been sellouts. So we are just growing, and just as the fighters are growing alongside us. So it's been a great experience.
Well, and a lot of the fans who know me, Skippy, I'm part owner and vice president of MMA Madhouse and all the networks that fall underneath that. And I know a lot of fans are going to be tweeting me tomorrow and tonight asking how I could work with a Boomer Sooner when I'm a Texas Longhorn. But once again, MMA bringing folks together from different places in the world. So I won't give you much of a hard time because I'm super excited about working with you, and I'll only say it once, hook 'em horns, and I won't do it again.
Oh, you're killing me.
my wife
That's
is
all right.
From
I'll
Lawton.
Forgive you.
My wife's from Lawton, so we live in a house divided.
Oh, wow. Well, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I had no idea you were married to
Okie. Yep, my in-laws are very, very much born and bred in Oklahoma, and they love to give me a hard time about being a Longhorn.
Well, I certainly would as well.
Yeah, you got to take that when you can, right? You know, and I'll be honest, you know, being somebody from Texas, you know, I've met a lot of great people through MMA at every, you know, major college in the country and gotten to talk to a lot of them. And it's something I'm excited as a fan to work with you, and especially behind the show, because I won't be your permanent co-host. You'll be bringing somebody on down the road. But I'm going to get to really learn and meet a lot of the fighters from Oklahoma and the surrounding states that you guys bring onto your cards. And you guys have had some phenomenal fights go down. You've had some great stories, background stories on certain fighters that have been on your cards. This will be one more platform for the fans to hear and meet these fighters. And, you know, I want everybody out there, you guys get out there and go like their Facebook page. You guys get out there and fight them on Twitter. We're going to be tweeting throughout the whole show, you know, with their tweet handle. And that's going to be, for everybody out there, that's going to be capital RITC underscore OK. That's Rage in the Cage, Oklahoma, for everybody abbreviation-wise. Get out there and follow them, and let's support them like you guys do all the other shows on the network. And, you know, let's have fun doing this. I'm super excited. And I know tonight you have some guests lined up. You kind of want to give a rundown to everybody who we're going to have on the show tonight?
Sure, I'd love to. We actually have so much in store for our first show. So excited about that. Some great interviews planned. You'll hear from former Bellator fighter Jeremy Spoon. He devastated from two losses on Bellator cards. He's gone back to the drawing board and hired one of Oklahoma's most famous personal trainers. He'll talk about that and what we can expect to see in his comeback fight for us, Rage in the Cage 30. That's happening on August 15th here in Oklahoma City. Spoon's opponent, Cody Carrillo, also a Bellator vet, stops by to talk about his training for the fight. He's also coming off two losses on Bellator cards, so this is these two fighters, I think, have a lot to prove, and it's going to be a tough fight for both of them. Pro fighters Tyler Griffin, he's the 2014 Pan Am champ, and Chris Brooks, those two are going to go head-to-head also to discuss their fight, which is scheduled again for August 15th here in Oklahoma City. And we're going to get some tips and guidelines for safely cutting weight and keeping the energy up from personal trainer Daryl Terrell. All those interviews just ahead in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, I'm excited to talk with Jeremy, somebody I do know some about. And, you know, it's going to be interesting. You know, most people assume, you know, that fighters don't have maybe mental struggles or physical struggles throughout camps, and that can cause a loss, you know. And I'm curious to see if maybe he had some turmoil in his life that caused bad camps, or he just had some injuries that caused bad camps and he wasn't able to perform at the level he wanted to in those fights. You know, for both fighters, actually, you know, it's going to be, for me, it's going to be really interesting, probably the fans as well, to see what it was that gave him these stumblings in his career and what he is doing to correct them. And I think that's something that a lot of these younger fighters out there, amateur-wise, should be listening to.
Right. And, you know, what I've learned from just talking to Jeremy briefly about a week ago, I spoke to him, and, you know, he tried out for UFC, and interesting enough, he's got a twin brother. And so he and his twin brother, both MMA fighters, tried out together, and Jeremy made it to third round, which is the interview round, and sadly, that's the round that he got beat out because of interview techniques and things. Some of the other fighters beat him out on that, and this is guys that were Jeremy beat in the cage, but he just hadn't worked on his interview skills, and so that's why here at Rage in the Cage, we have definitely started and giving fighters here in Oklahoma an opportunity to learn to interview, to develop those interview the interview techniques and things that they need to make it on these big cards. People don't realize, and fighters don't realize, how important the interview skills are. So we have a media team made up myself. I used to work in television here in Oklahoma, and then we have a video photographer that has also worked here in TV news in Oklahoma and Kansas, and the two of us are able to do pre-fight interviews on camera with these fighters and publish those online and at various media outlets to give them some exposure out there and give them a chance to learn and develop those interview skills now when they're just starting out in MMA, so that by the time they have the opportunity to be on these big name cards like Bellator and UFC, they've already developed those interview skills that are, you know, so important in this field. And, you know, it's something that really we think a lot about people's fighting skills and what they need to develop as far as their fighting, make sure they have a good stand-up game, make sure that they are good in their jiu-jitsu, their Muay Thai, all those things. We really think about that and we take that into consideration, but we forget about all the little things that really add up to a complete fighter. And you know, that's something here at Rage in the Cage we haven't forgotten about, and that's exactly why I was brought on board, is to help these fighters develop those skills. So, you know, we're talking about Jeremy and his time and his interviews, skills. And so I'm so excited to bring him on tonight. He's gone far in his career. He's really had 17 fights in the cage in his pro career, and only two of those were losses. He fought four times, of course, for Bellator, but his final two fights, didn't go his way. So we are talking to Jeremy Spoon, and I believe Jeremy is ready. Jeremy, you out there?
Yep, I'm here.
Awesome. How are you doing tonight, Jeremy?
I'm doing good. Just got home from my last training session for the day.
Last training session, okay. So how is your training going?
Yeah, it's going real good. The best ever, you know. So I'm going to be ready August 15th.
You are ready. We are so excited about August 15th. Let's go ahead and talk about your Bellator experience and those two losses. For someone that fought 15 times at that point, when you experienced your first loss, that really had to be, I imagine, a shock to you because you had never experienced that.
Yeah, it was tough. Everybody up to that point, I hadn't lost. Everybody was always expecting me to win, which, I knew sometimes I would probably lose, but it helped really motivate me, But, of course, the next fight I got caught with ducking, that's kind of the name of the game. Sometimes you make one mistake and that's it, But, them two losses, they definitely got me hungrier than ever. I just got to, keep grinding it out, so.
Hey, Jeremy, let me jump in real quick and ask you a question. You just talked about that, about getting caught. You've stepped up at Bellator to an elite level. And you said a small mistake can cost you a fight. When you stepped up to that level, what did you do mentally and physically to prepare yourself at that the last camp, not the one right now, the last camp that you had before your loss? Was there anything that you did different to try to prepare yourself to go back into there?
Man, honestly, I'm one of the fighters that always want to improve. Whether I win or lose, each time I fight, I'm looking to get better and better. You know what I mean? It's not like I feel like I did good this fight. I always feel like I could do better. So it's not, Like, I'm always trying to improve. I don't think, I'm always, all right, this fight, that's where I need to be. No matter how good I fight, I'm always trying to improve, period. You know what I mean? And I think in this sport, that's what you got to do. You know what I mean? And, I still got caught, but, like I said, I'm always trying to improve no matter what. Win, lose, I'm always, next fight, I'm looking to push the pace even more, pushing my body to the limit even farther. You know what I mean?
So you're...
Well, and I've seen you push your body to the next level. I did get to witness one of his training sessions here, and I know that after those two losses, you've kind of taken some time to kind of regroup, and you've hired a personal trainer. And how have you seen that help you in this game?
Working with Daryl Till, he's helped me a lot. He's helped me with my diet. He's got me stronger. He's faster, better cardio. Like I said, I'm still almost 4 weeks out, and I'm already within 10 pounds of my weighing in, you know what I mean? Usually I'm still about 20 pounds over, and I'm sitting already about 56, 56 and a half. So I'm, just working with him, just him taking me to the next level. It's really paying off.
What have you learned about yourself as a fighter since those two losses? Have you been able to reflect and learn something about yourself as a fighter?
Yeah, I just got to, learn, just always got to look to improve, period. It's never good to lose, in this sport. You're only as good as your last loss or your last fight, So I'm, that second loss, that really hurt me, So I was, really trying to grind out, improve, So, You know, that's what I'm looking like. I'm not making a comeback, you know. I'm just reinventing myself, you know what I mean? You know, like people like, oh, he's trying to make a comeback. No, I just had a setback, you know what I mean? So that's what
well,
I'm
mentally,
looking at.
That's how you should address it mentally, I believe. I mean, you know, obviously everybody has different opinions on this, but mentally I think you have to address it as it's just reinventing yourself. It's
yes.
making yourself better. It's not a comeback, because then you start thinking like that, then you start doubting yourself, you know, that you failed or something, and you did fail.
Right, yeah, like I said, man, you know, I got caught up, you know, in that fight. You know, we knew he was a boxer, a pretty good boxer. When I got out there, it was working, and I was slipping. You know, I was tagging him a couple times, and I went to change levels, and he was southpaw, and I ate that kick. I didn't see that kick coming at all. So, like I said, one mistake like that, when you're at that high of a level, it can be the end of the night, you know what I mean? So now I'm working every time, whether I'm slipping, changing levels, my hands are up, you know, moving certain ways to prevent that, you know, so.
You know, and you kind of mentioned in there, you've been a wrestler, you won some awards in high school, you're definitely have always been a ground guy, and that's where your strength has always been. Tell me about preparing for this next fight. I know that you're working with Daryl Taylor, your personal trainer, and getting your stamina, your cardio up, your strength up. What about your specific MMA training, your jiu-jitsu training, your stand-up game? How is that coming along?
You know, like I said, I'm good. My strength is on the ground, but I've been working a lot on my stand-up, so I'm feeling more and more confident every fight, you know, and this one's going to be even better, you know. So I'm just trying to be the most well-rounded fighter I can be, period, you know. So, like I said, I'm continually working on my jiu-jitsu, wrestling, and stand-up, whether it's, you know, I'm just working it all, you know.
Well, and you just mentioned that a few minutes ago that you were just coming home from your last training of the day. So talk to me. How many training sessions do you do a day?
Usually about two, maybe three. If, you know, I work out in the mornings with either Daryl Terrell or one of my other coaches, Drew Vasquez, for boxing, you know, and then sometimes I might do a little running. So I'll probably start getting a little bit more sprints in, you know, picking a day out, a few days out, and getting a third session in between the two practices to get some of my sprints up, you know. But, you know, if they're going good, you know, so I'll be ready August 15th, that's for sure.
August 15th. Now, how long has it been since you were in the cage last?
It was February, I think, 15th this year,
okay.
I think.
Okay. Oh, okay, so just a few months.
Yeah, it's only been a few months, so.
Okay, and so since then you've been working with your personal trainer. So what do you think we're going to see differently when you get in the cage on August 15th for Rage in the Cage here in Oklahoma City?
I think you'll see a stronger and quicker and, you know, more aggressive Jeremy, you know what I mean? Just and well, better cardio Jeremy, too, you know, just more condition and, you know, just more trying to be in more attack mode, you know, so really pushing the pace with this fight.
Okay. And ultimate goals, let's talk about ultimate goals. Are you wanting to get back on a Bellator card again, UFC? What do you see your future looking like?
You know, everyone wants to be at that UFC level. Now, you know, I would love to be there, but I think, I mean, I do want to be there, but there is part of me that I know I've gotten a lot better since my two losses. And you know what that means. I would love to avenge the two losses I've had, period. You know what
right.
I mean? Just because, I mean, I know I'm capable of doing it, and I would like just to prove to myself and my fans and everyone around the world that, you know, I've gotten better, and that's, you know, that's the new Jeremy. You know, he's always trying to push the limits just to show he's the best.
Okay. our time for this interview is about over. You know, do you have any shout-outs, any people that you want to thank tonight, your sponsors, trainers, anybody
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
You go ahead.
Yeah, I want to thank all my teammates, coaches, all my training partners, every single one of them, every single one of my coaches, all my family for always supporting me. You know, without my family, you know, I probably wouldn't be able to do everything I've been able to do, you know, because they helped me, because this is all I do, you know. So I want to give a big thanks to my family and, you know, my sponsors too, AS, Advanced Supplements and Nutrition, Daryl Terrell, Hawthorne Consultants, Sean McConnell, Joe Fitzpatrick with Welding Fabrication. You know, I want to thank everyone that's helped me, you know, Apex, R1, Drew Vasquez, Team Vasquez, you know, everyone that's helped me and get me to the better Jeremy there's ever been, you know.
Well, it sounds like it, and like I said, I've seen your training, so I know that you're definitely at, you know, your peak level here, and we're so excited to see you back in the cage. Thank you so much, Jeremy, for coming on the show tonight. We are so excited to see your career and just to see you blossom and, you know, get back in the cage and, you know, make things happen. You go ahead, Jeremy.
And thank y'all for having me on the show, you know.
Well,
sounds great.
I appreciate it.
No, you're welcome. And I, like I said, I appreciate y'all having me on the show. So hopefully I did all right. I'm not very good at interviews. So
you did
a great job. Yeah, I'm very, very impressed with your interview. Awesome job. We appreciate it.
Thank y'all.
Hey, Jeremy, go enjoy your night tonight. I know that, you know, you're getting close to this fight date coming up quick. You know, enjoy the rest of your camp. I hope it goes very, very smooth for you, and I hope you get in there and get that victory you're looking for.
All right, I will.
Yeah, hopefully
go ahead.
Maybe we'll have you on the show. No, we might have you on the show again before fight night and just check up on you one last time.
That sounds good. No, that'll work, definitely.
Well, thank you, Jeremy, man. You go and enjoy the rest of your evening.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
And we are definitely ready. So if you want to bring our next guest in, because I'm excited to talk to this man.
Awesome. Well, this is actually Jeremy's personal trainer, but we're having him on tonight to talk a little bit about Jeremy's training. But also, Daryl Terrell is, you know, really helping Jeremy in preparing for his fight in cutting weight and things like that. And so I think it's good for all fighters, some good advice and tips that he has out there. So if you're ready, Daryl, are you there?
Yes, I am. How are you guys tonight?
We're doing
good.
Great. How are you?
I'm doing awesome. Just got done finishing the night up at the gym, training people all day. So just loving what I do.
Daryl, for the fans around the world listening tonight, you know, we're new to Oklahoma Madhouses, and that's why we've joined forces with Rage in the Cage to do this show. But we have fans all over the world listening tonight. Can you tell them a little bit about who you are and some of your background for everybody?
Yes, my name is Daryl Terrell. I have been competing in the sport of bodybuilding since I was 19 years old. I'm 42 years old now. I have the most top place finishes of any bodybuilder that's ever competed on the national level. I'm the youngest person to ever win Mr. Oklahoma at the age of 21 in bodybuilding. I have traveled all from state to state, and as far as Barcelona, Spain, because of the sport of bodybuilding, and it's just been one of my passions.
Now you've taken this amazing, you know, historical lineage of bodybuilding, and you've figured out how to adapt certain aspects for these kids who are now taking over in the world of mixed martial arts. How much did you enjoy watching combat sports before you took this transition?
Yeah, first I want to say I am a huge fan of MMA. fighting, and you know, any time that it's on is something that I am eager to watch, whether it's the UFC, you know, no matter what it is, I'm just very passionate. You know, I look at these guys that are in the octagon and in the cage, and it takes sheer willpower and mental strength for any man to be in a cage one-on-one with another superior athlete going toe-to-toe, using every bit of athleticism to be the last person standing. So, you know, just like in the sport of bodybuilding, you train, you know, every single day to be your absolute best. And I see these guys doing the exact same thing. And I just have mad respect for any athlete that's, you know, in the MMA, UFC, so forth and so on, you know, trying to be their best and make it to the pinnacle of MMA, which is the UFC.
You know, we talked about, Daryl, you know, one of the hardest parts for fighters preparing for their fight, you would think it was the actual training, you know, the boxing, the ground game, but really the hardest part for some of them is the weight cutting. You know, a lot of them are on these fad diets, some unhealthy practices. What is some practical advice for these fighters to get them safely to the weight that they want to fight at?
The first thing, Kimber, I would like to say about that is, you know, if you're a fighter, you know, just like in bodybuilding, it has to have the same aspect. And that aspect is reaching your absolute best conditioning. And that comes through training, that comes through dieting. And, you know, what I'm starting to experience now that I'm getting into this type of arena, I see a lot of great athletes, but there's such a huge margin between guys that are trying to get to the UFC and guys that are here on the local levels or on the lower end of the professional level trying to get into the UFC on their dieting. And I think that if more of these guys would take time to get with a nutrition specialist that really knows how to diet them down without them using their old high school tactics on shedding weight fast, they would be able to go into a fight in a totally different aspect of energy, stamina, and be a lot more aggressive a lot longer.
I definitely want to jump in and say something because I 100% agree with what you just said. And I know this might offend some people in the Midwest, especially Baker, because I know he's listening. But I believe over the last few years, with the increase of MMA, at the high school and regional levels of wrestling, we're seeing people abuse weight cutting, assuming that that wrestling pedigree will get them into the mixed martial arts field and grow. Your opinion, are you seeing weight cutting abused at an amateur and high school level way too much?
Well, first, I want to speak on that as well for the simple fact. A lot of people don't know that I used to wrestle, okay? So one of the main reasons why I got out of wrestling is because I could not do that type of fad. I couldn't just eat Jell-O for a week. I couldn't do that type of tactics in order to lose weight, in order to go into a bout with another human being and have no energy for 60 seconds. 60 seconds is short compared to most of these guys who's in the ring for 3 minutes to 5 minutes. So, do I agree with it? I absolutely not. Just simply because I have been a wrestler myself in the past, even though I may not have taken it professionally or I may not have taken it very far. I have done it in my high school. When I was in high school, it just wasn't something that I could agree with. That's why I got into bodybuilding.
Would you like to see, and this is just something that we've talked about over the years, would you like to see a 30, a 15, and a 7-day weigh-in for fighters who agree on a pro contract to meet at a specific weight, and as well as amateurs to keep them from cutting too much weight?
I would. I think that it would show a lot more purpose for each of the fighters. Once again, this all boils down to whether or not they have proper instruction from whoever is helping them. Now, not everybody knows my knowledge, and I'm not saying that I know all of, you know, MMA fighters, you know, coach knowledge either, but that's why we are all in different categories, if you understand what I'm trying to say. You know,
yes,
I help people day in and day out, whether they're just a mom or a dad, try to get in shape, and I also work with athletes stepping on stage. So there's 2, 3, 4, 5 different degrees of helping people get physically fit, but I see so many of these guys step into the ring and they're out of shape, but I look at them and they have everything that it takes to be a badass, but if they would take their nutrition a lot more seriously, there's no telling actually how far they could go.
So you feel that dietary... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kimber.
You go ahead.
I was going to say, so you feel that you've seen actual fighters whose dietary issues are holding them back?
Most definitely. You know, I mean, as I just said, it's not taking away from their athleticism because they have been trained in that skill as well. But dieting is also another trained skill. You know, this is something that you can't go all day without eating. You got to wake up from the time you wake up. There's a 30-minute window from the time you open your eyes before you reach a catabolic state, and that means where your body starts going into a starvation mode. You understand where I'm coming from. That's why you need to eat every 2.5-3 hours. There's so many different things that I think fighters don't know because they're so used to how they were treated and how they were taught in high school and junior high trying to get ready for their matches that's how they've been programmed as they've grown up and have gone further in their pursuit of being on a higher level of wrestling and MMA and UFC.
Dale, make it super simple for us, because, I mean, you have some great advice, and I'm following you 100%, but would you mind, could you break down maybe a sample, just day's menu, that you would have an athlete that you're training to go into a cage fight, what would you have them eating to be able to cut weight but also keep their energy up? I mean, what would be a sample breakfast, lunch, dinner, snacks?
Well, like, for instance, for Jeremy, you know, I have him eating eggs. I have him eating oatmeal. I have him eating fruit. I have him having chicken or tilapia with rice and some vegetables. I have him, every time we get done training, he has that 30-minute window to take in his whey protein shake and his glutamine, which helps him with recovery immediately after we get done training. Now, once again, any person that I work with, they don't stay on the exact same diet. I continuously keep manipulating it, not for them just to lose weight. I'm a person that focuses on them losing fat. As I've spoken to Jeremy throughout our journey as we're working together, I want Jeremy, when he steps in that arena on August 15th and he unveils, I want people to look at him and go, holy cow, look how amazing he looks.
Well, I know for...
I mean, you've already seen it yourself. Some of these people haven't. If you're a Facebook friend of mine, you have already seen the transition he's already had. I have a lot of people that come up to me at the gym while I'm eating my food. They have started to follow myself and Jeremy, and the first thing that they say to me when they have watched him on YouTube is, you know what, he used to gas out quickly, but he wasn't in condition. Now he's in condition. You know, when we're out there training on the ropes and I'm making him go for a minute straight, a minute and a half, 2 minutes, that's hard to do on those heavy ropes. But I'm also thinking in my mind, everything that I have Jeremy do is the same exact theme that he is going to be performing when he's going one-on-one with that opponent. So whether he has that person up against the cage, he does not need to let up off of that person, and he needs to hit, kick, punch, elbow, whatever it needs to be constantly, and that requires a lot of energy. And that's what I'm thinking while I'm making him, you know, use that heavy rope for 2 minutes straight.
How long have you been working with Jeremy, and, you know, how long did it take before you really started noticing a difference in him?
It was rather pretty quickly. I think we've been working together probably 2 months now. You're pretty much getting close to 3 months. If anyone that knows me knows that when I help a person get in shape, it's quick. I'm not a person that goes, hey, it's going to take you a year to get in shape. I don't want it to take a person a year to get in shape. Jeremy doesn't have a year to get in shape. I need to, every time I see him, it's embedded in his head. Every single week, we need to get a pound or half a pound closer to that goal weight, which is 145 pounds. He came to me at 160-something. We are 155 now. He would tell me he would be 10 pounds out a couple of days or a couple of days from him weighing in. So is he on track right now? Most definitely he is. So what's going to be the result of him stepping into this fight? A lot more stamina, a lot more energy, and he's not sacrificing any of that by doing crash course little tactics that most fighters do going into their bouts.
Daryl, Skippy here again. First of all, I would love if we could figure out another time to get you on for a longer segment to really pick your brain, because I've got a few fans who are wanting to ask questions, but we're running out of time today. So for everybody out there, we will work really hard to get him back on for his own segment for maybe 20-30 minutes to where you guys can ask questions. I want you to take some time real quick. For anybody out there who would like to contact you about working with you or bringing you out for seminars or training or anything like that, can you tell everybody how they can find you?
You can go to my website. My business is called Total Package Personal Training. The address to my website is www.totalpackagepersonaltraining.com, or you can find me on Facebook under Daryl Terrell. That is DarrellTerrell. Yes, there probably is several Daryl Terrells, but all you got to do is look at the profile picture, and it's me and Jeremy Spoon.
Go ahead, Ms. Kimber. I know you want to jump in.
Oh, no. I just wanted to tell Daryl, we just really appreciate all the specific information you've given us. And like Skippy said, it's so important. It's questions that every fighter has. And not all fighters have access to somebody to really work with them on their nutrition and their actual training in the gym and that sort of thing. So we really appreciate the advice and hope to have you on again so you can answer some more questions for us.
I would love to. And I would like to say before, we go, this is really a part of the industry I would love to get into by helping more fighters. I think it'd be so much more beneficial them doing their transition from the regular, sparring and then coming and doing a different type of conditioning in the gym. What I've learned since I've worked with Jeremy Spoon, some of these guys have never actually trained in an actual gym, which is baffling to me because it's a different type of conditioning. It's a different type of training. So you don't really know how good you can be, if you don't do the different type of training in an actual gym setting. And, me and Jeremy, we don't do heavy weights. We do a lot of reps. I challenge him on different exercises, but I want to work on him and his conditioning, his breathing, And that's what he hears from me the most. Focus on your breathing. Don't let your heart rate get too high. That way, when he's in the ring and he's fighting someone, he's not gassing out so quickly. He's focused. And therefore, you know, that it's just going to only make him a better fighter. So if there's anybody out there listening, please hit me up on Facebook. You can hit me up on Instagram under Total Package Personal Training, or you can call me or send me a text at 405-887-8141. That's my cell phone. I'd be more than happy to answer questions and possibly help you as well.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Daryl, for being on the show tonight. And like we said, we'll get back with you pretty soon. And we are heading out to our next interview, Cody Carrillo. He's going up against Jeremy soon, August 15th in Oklahoma City. Cody is also a Bellator vet, 8 wins, 8 losses in the cage. He's from Wichita, Kansas. Like Jeremy, he's coming off of a couple of losses on Bellator fight cards. And, Cody, are you there?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm here. Hello.
Hey, Cody, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Oh, we're doing good. We just had your opponent on. I'm not sure if you've been able to listen to the show or not, but we just had Jeremy Spoon on the show this evening talking about his preparations for the fight. So next, it's your turn. I know you had a tough loss on Bellator's, was it Mark's card? You went all 3 rounds but lost via unanimous decision against El Rojo. Tell us about that fight and what you've learned from it.
I think that the biggest thing that I could take from that fight was just to, you know, if things don't go as planned, just to be a little more aggressive. I think I need to be more aggressive in certain situations, you know, not be as careful.
In what way do you think you were being careful?
I mean, I think that I was just being careful. I was expecting him to be a lot more aggressive, and he wasn't as aggressive as, you know, I had envisioned and I had planned. And maybe, I mean, like, I wouldn't say I wasn't pulling the trigger, but, you know, things could have been a lot cleaner. My technique could have been a lot cleaner. And if I was, you know, just through longer combinations and just being a tiny bit more aggressive, I really could have took advantage of it because he really didn't have much for me. I actually still think I won that fight, to be honest.
Sometimes it's hard when it goes to judge's decision because you just never know.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Always go either way. I mean, there's always some, you know, always one that's disappointed. So do you feel after those two back-to-back losses, do you feel like you have a lot to prove in this fight?
No, I don't feel like I have a lot to prove. I don't feel like I have any more to prove than I normally do when I step in the cage. You know, like every single person that I ever fight is a high-quality opponent, and Jeremy is absolutely no exception. So, I mean, I'm not the one that has anything to prove. Clearly, you know, Jeremy, there are pressures on him, hometown fight, bigger record, better record. You know, I'm not there to let it fly.
Yeah, you're not there to take the easy fights.
Excuse me?
Can you go ahead, Skippy?
Oh, I was going to say, Cody, let me ask you. I'm a big fan of the mental aspect of fighting, and you know, and talking to fighters about the mental side of the game. Obviously, you get the first loss, and then you get the second. Mentally, how did you handle that? Did you take some time off? Did you talk with somebody? Did you break it down with your coach and try to maybe learn to meditate and figure these out? Or what did you do mentally to turn your game around?
You know, it's pretty simple, like, just to be a little more focused and, you know, like, as a professional, to act like a professional. You know, my professional career didn't start the same way that I wanted it to, or that, you know, maybe it was the ideal thing, but I was able to turn it around there and had a pretty nice run for a while. Just, you know, being aggressive, being happy, like that. Like, you know, just like everything else in your life affects what you do in the cage. You know, if you're happy while you're outside, the cage and outside of training, you know, obviously things go better there. So, you know, when you're in a better place, it's easier to train hard, and it's easier to, you know, be happy. And I think I fight better when I'm happy, honestly. So I like to be a happy person.
Well, so we like you to be a happy person because that means obviously you're performing how you feel it would be at the top of your game then, so we get to truly see you as a gifted fighter.
Absolutely.
You know, Cody, I read on your bio that you've experienced some tragic and some life-changing events in your life. Would you feel comfortable sharing any of those events and basically how they shaped you into the man that you are today?
You know, I've lost people very important to me, you know. Had a bad car accident, you know, as an amateur, you know, right at the threshold of turning pro, had a bad car accident. Lost some very important people in the car accident, as well as injured myself, you know, and if it weren't for MMA, you know, maybe, I don't know what I would have, done after that, you know, whether it weren't for MMA and my friends and family, and, you know, and God there being there for me, who knows where I'd be or what would happen to me. So it's nice to be able to turn around, and, you know, a lot of my friends and family stuck with me and were by my side, and MMA was there for me, so, they're still with me today, and here I am talking to you guys.
True, and I've had a lot of people tell me that how MMA and, you know, their training has brought them through some really tough situations and some dark situations in their lives. So, I mean, it's always feels good to hear those stories where it's really helped you bring you to another level, even through those tragic events.
Definitely.
You know, it also appears to me, you've mentioned a little bit that about your faith in God and how that's helped you through. Is your faith important to you? Are you thankful that God gave you the gift to fight? Do you feel that your relationship with God really plays a role in any way in your career?
Very, very easily. Like, you know, I owe most of it to him. Like, you know, he put me in connection with the right people. I feel like he put these people in my life. I feel like he gave me the gift, like, not only physically but mentally. You know, mentally to, you know, adapt and catch on to things and, you know, learn new techniques and be a sponge. You know, like I'm the type of guy who can sit and watch a technique and watch someone do it and not even have them tell me how to do it, and I'm able to do it a lot of times and replicate it. You know, I think definitely God. I owe a lot to God, not only for, like, the gifts that he gave me, but just the people he put around me.
That's true for all of us. I mean, I know that I'm grateful for my relationship with God and just where he's brought me. And one of these days I'll talk about my, you know, here on the show, I'll talk about my upbringing and where I came and, you know, the fact that God brought me through some tough situations. And even before graduating college, I already had a job lined up for myself in television. And, you know, I mean, if it wasn't for my relationship, I can't even imagine where I would be. So,
awesome.
Yeah, definitely a no-brainer for me, you know, as far as trying my hardest to put God first in my career. And so I imagine even for MMA fighters, I mean, you're putting your body in that cage, you know, you're there. And, you know, I can imagine only helps when you have a relationship with God and you know that he's looking after you.
Yeah, it definitely helps.
So you're preparing for Rage in the Cage 30, August 15th in the OKC. Tell me, how's your fight camp coming along? Do you feel that you're ready to take on Jeremy soon? I mean, you're going to be here on his home turf, so to speak. So how's that going to feel?
Yeah, you know, I don't have, like, a whole lot of experience fighting in Wichita. Like, my last two fights have been here, luckily, and I actually lost those. So it's cool for me to go to another town and fight the main guy. You know, I've been main event in Denver against Tyler Toner. I've been, you know, fight Brandon Finesteel in Omaha. You know, I've fought guys, tough guys in their hometown, and, you know, done very well. I'm more than prepared to do that. It's not really, actually takes a little bit of pressure off of me because, you know, I don't have to do a whole bunch of different preparations here at home and just be ready to go. That's all I've got to do is focus on the fight.
So Wichita's not too bad of a drive to Oklahoma City, maybe three and a half hours, I'm guessing. So will you be able to have some friends and family there in your corner?
Yeah, I'd hope so. I mean, I understand that, you know, their lives don't revolve around mine, but, you know, I've been lucky enough to have some good support from people, and I understand people can make it, you know. They'll be cheering for me at home.
I know you and your wife just had a baby, what, about 10 months ago? Is this your first child? Or?
Yeah, this is my first child. It's been
little boy or little girl?
Yeah, little boy, oh. Cody Jr.
Cody Jr., okay. So how's parenting going as far as having a baby in the home and also being able to train? Because I know that takes a little bit of time away from, you know, and your wife being a godsend, I'm sure, being able to stay home and take control of the home front.
Yeah, it's definitely a new adventure every single day, that's for sure. I never, you know, it breaks up the monotony. You know, I'm home with him during business hours, and he goes to the gym with me, or, you know, I have a babysitter come while I go train during the day if it's not at the gym that has a daycare. But it's he's awesome now. It's just every single day he amazes me. So it's indescribable, and I usually don't have a problem with words, but it's not a feeling that it's easy to put my finger on with him. But it's cool. I'm glad he gets to experience this with me.
Oh, great. It's always awesome to hear a dad talk about their little ones and the special bond that you have with you know, with your babies. And so let's go back to the fight game. What is your ultimate goal? I mean, you've fought for Bellator. What do you hope to do next?
I hope to win this next fight. You know, MMA is such a crazy, crazy game. You know, like you're only... You know, you live and die with every single bout. And so, you know, like, this, you know, a win puts me one step ahead, but a loss, you know, puts me back three or four steps. So, you know, you just got to focus on what the task at hand. But, I mean, of course, everybody, you know, the ultimate goal for everyone would be to get to the UFC. And, I mean, I know some guys in the UFC, and they're great fighters. And, you know, you look up to those guys, and it'd be awesome to eventually be there. But all you can do is take it one bout at a time.
As far as training for your fight, do you have a strategy when you go into these fights, or do you just go in and, you know, just kind of wing it, per se?
I don't necessarily have a strategy. I mean, like, you go over certain techniques in certain scenarios and situations in your training and in your head, but there's never a set strategy, because usually that's when things go completely the opposite. I mean, I've tried that, but I shouldn't say never. I've tried that, and it definitely didn't work. So, you know, just ready to fight everywhere.
Tell me a little bit about your background in fighting. I mean, are you more of a ground guy, stand up?
I'm definitely a very well-rounded fighter. I like to think that I am. You know, it's a blessing in disguise. Like, before I got in a car accident, I did a lot of ground. Ground and pound wrestling, that leaned really heavily on my wrestling background. And, you know, now I can't wrestle as much. I can only wrestle, you know, two or three days, like wrestle hard a week. And so I had to learn. I had to learn striking, and I've got one of the best striking coaches that's around, and I'm in a perfect place to do that. So it's cool. It's cool. I'm more than ready to scrap it anywhere, honestly.
All right. Well, it's about time to wrap up. Do you have any shout-outs to sponsors or anyone you want to thank? You've got the floor.
Yes, I definitely want to thank Supplement World here in Wichita. They always support me for my fights here. You guys, they're a great guy, great knowledgeable guys, and they're always looking to help me out. Rev Gear has done a great job for me the last couple fights, providing gear for me, you know, and, you know, just my friends, family, you know, the people over at JMTK, like, Ginger and Muay Thai Kansas, Andy Lurger, my trainer, like all my training partners there, my friends and family who always support me. There's just too many people to thank. I'm really grateful. Really grateful.
Well, I appreciate you coming on tonight onto the debut of Rage in the Cage. I think we'll call it Rage in the Cage Radio, since it rolls off the tongue so well. But, this show is going to be about guys like you and some of the amateurs coming up in the Oklahoma, Texas, Arkansas, Missouri area that are coming to Rage in the Cage to fight. And I'm just, for amateurs out there, if you could give an amateur who's listening to the show right now one advice about fight camp, what would it be?
Yeah, don't get in a hurry. Don't get in a hurry. You know, like some guys get so overzealous, they get hurt, or they're hurting other people. You know, just hang in there. It's a long trip. If it's just a fight camp, you know, don't get overzealous. Some days go hard. Some days, you know, go smart.
Thank you so much, brother. I wish you the best of
Absolutely.
The luck. And in your camp as well as your fight, and with, you know, all the endeavors in your career and personal life.
Absolutely. I appreciate the opportunity to talk to you guys.
Thank you so much. We appreciate you coming on the show tonight.
All right. You guys have a good night.
You too,
brother.
All right. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Now, Kimber, you're going to debut a recurring segment that we're going to have on the show from this point forward for hopefully the eternity of the show, which I'm hoping we're both very super old when you decide to stop, because we're getting a lot of love. People are really happy so far with the show. So why don't you talk a little bit about what we're going to debut, and then let me know when you're ready.
All right. Well, that sounds great. You know, I feel something that really sets Rage in the Cage apart from so many other organizations, Skippy, is that we really see the importance of encouragement, you know, not just encouragement in the cage, but to our fighters in their personal lives. And so we do have a pastor on staff, and he's at all of our events. Pastor Ken Kerbo, he really has a way, I think, in my opinion, of speaking to fighters and really all of us. And, you know, I just felt like that is an important aspect of any show that I would want to be a part of, is to not only talk fight strategy and that sort of thing, but, you know, we're here to build up the fighters, to make the fighters whole. And I just really feel like that's an important part of the puzzle. And so hopefully we can take a few seconds before our next interviews. We're going to be interviewing Tyler Griffin and Chris Brooks. And thankfully, because this show, we've built in a little bit of extra time. So if we go past 10 o'clock with those interviews, everything is hunky-dory, if I can say that. But
yes,
let's
ma'am.
Take a few moments to listen to a few words from Pastor Ken Kerbo, who is Rage in the Cage, Oklahoma's pastor.
Elisa Hope Wagner said, "When I trained for my MMA fight, I sparred with several different women. Sparring is extremely important because it prepares you for the cage. However, sparring hurts. One woman I sparred threw me against the cage, forcing her shoulder and all of her body weight into my chest. I felt my sternum crunch, so I took a visit to the ER. Another woman hit my nose, causing it to swell and bruise, and every additional punch to my face felt like a hammer. After each injury, my sparring partners would give me a hug and say, 'Good job.' They didn't feel guilty about the pain they inflicted because they knew they were helping me find my victory. Sounds strange, doesn't it? But they were breaking me down so I could become stronger. By the time I entered the cage, my injuries were healed and I was strong. After 1 minute and 9 seconds, I won my fight by TKO. I gave my opponent a hug and said, 'God will break you down, but I promise he will build you back up again.' God needs to unleash this amazing potential in each of us, and he can only do it when we are broken and surrendered to him."
Now, that was very good. I want to thank Pastor Ken. I think this is a great segment, and I look forward to hearing his words of encouragement every week.
Me too. I mean, like I said before, he's got a way with words, and he has a way of speaking to you. And, you know, you don't even have to be a religious person to really, I mean, a lot of times what he has to say isn't, you know, something religious per se, but it just speaks to your soul. I mean, just great advice for anybody.
I like it. I'm a fan of Joel Osteen, once again, representing Texas.
Oh, there you go.
Young lady, we have Tyler in queue. You ready for him?
We are ready. Tyler, are you there?
I'm here. How are you, Kimber?
Oh, great. How are you doing?
I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
Good. I'm sure you've got the kids all tucked in bed and ready for your interview tonight.
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, good. Well, Tyler, you are 3-0 now, and you're the 2014 Pan Am champ. Tell us a little bit about your experience as a jiu-jitsu fighter thus far.
Oh, just been getting after it for about 6 years now. You know, started off my training as martial artist, started off gearing up for MMA, and got a few fights under my belt. A couple of amateur fights and a couple of pro fights under my belt, and then really just went to focusing on the discipline of jiu-jitsu, and competed in quite a few tournaments locally and regionally, and just built myself up to that point where it was time to go to the world stage. And this year went out to the Pan Am Games as a blue belt and was victorious, won the gold medal, and was blessed to get that purple belt from Robert Drysdale on the podium. And now I just decided it was time to get back to work in the cage and to take my experience that I've developed through jiu-jitsu, and I've continued to train Muay Thai the whole time, so just to blend them back together and get back in this cage and see what happens from there.
You know, a lot of people don't realize you did take a couple of years off from being in the cage to be home with your family, have some new little ones that, you know, you wanted to take care of. And your comeback fight was actually for Rage in the Cage back in June. You got a quick first-round win over Joe the Ghost Brewer. How did it feel for you to get back in the cage?
Oh, it felt really good. There was a lot of excitement. I was really just anticipating that moment of getting in there and getting to cut loose again. So it felt really well. Had a really really good fan base there to support me. Just couldn't have been any better. It was a great night. Just implemented my game from the get-go and got it done and got out of there.
You had quite the fans there in the audience. I mean, from the second you walked in the cage, I mean, it was just all screams. How did that part feel?
Oh, it felt great. It felt great. I mean, I got a lot of people around here. One of my main goals in life is just to develop quality relationships with people, and so that's something I try and practice all the time, and it's definitely carried over and been good for me. I got a lot of people in my corner, got a lot of people that are backing me and supporting me and what I do, and it feels really good when you come into the arena to go to battle and you've got that roar there for you, you got that support. It definitely feels really good.
You know, and another thing is, you go ahead, Skippy.
I wanted to touch because I grew up overseas and became infatuated with the Danish kickboxing scene, and then grew into the traditional Muay Thai and Cambodia style of fighting. Obviously, you touched on the Muay Thai. How much do you enjoy the technical aspect of training Muay Thai?
Oh, I love it a lot. I've got one of the best Muay Thai instructors in the country, R. John Mike Parker. He's directly under R. John Chai. So he teaches me a lot, and just not even getting in there and learning the techniques, but just learning the mental side of things and getting his aspect on the mental game is huge. There's so much to be learned in training Muay Thai. So I love it, man. It's good stuff, definitely.
You touched on, and Kimber, I got to jump in one more time. You touched on the mental, something we've talked about throughout the whole show tonight. How important is it for you to work your mental game as well as your physical game?
To me, that's most important. You're going into combat, so you've got to be mentally strong. You've got to be mentally tough. You've got to be able to slow it down and be able to handle the chaos. When you get in there in a fight, it's chaos. And the quicker you can get control of that and slow it down, then the better, the better you see everything and the better decisions you make and the better shots you got to come out on top.
When you get in a fight, Tyler, and you feel yourself getting in trouble, how do you get control of that?
It's just you put yourself in that position in training. I find myself, if I'm training sometimes, whether it be training jiu-jitsu, training MMA, whatnot, I'll put myself in positions, I'll put myself in situations that aren't fun to be in and figure out a way to work out. And then when you can do that and you can focus on staying calm and finding that answer, the more and more you do that, and whenever you get in there and it's a real battle with somebody who's really trying to take your head off, the repetition of doing it before comes into place, and just be able to stay calm and get out of that situation.
Now, I'm curious, one more question about your Thai background. Did you learn a Y crew?
I train under Arjun Parker, and he's got crews under him. I haven't ever done any testing in Muay Thai. Thai is not my main discipline, so no. But I take Thai class. You know, I take Thai class a couple times a week, but I haven't ever done any testing or anything to advance in Muay Thai. I just take it to round out my stand-up game to add on to my jiu-jitsu.
Well, just for you and all the folks listening tonight, you know, every year Team Quest Thailand, you know, obviously Team Quest, Matt Linlin and the boys who started it years ago, every year they give out 3 scholarships for 6 months, all exclusive, all paid, to go over and train Muay Thai over in Thailand at Team Quest Thailand. So if it, you know, obviously you have a family, it might be hard, but it's something you might want to look into next year if you've got the time and the opportunity. You know, it would be great. You'd probably really enjoy it.
Right. That'd be great. Another thing, Arjun Parker tries to invite me to. He tries to get me to come to Thai camp and out in Washington State every year, which I've heard is pretty rigorous and is the real deal that they do out there. So
yes,
just like you said, though, when you got little ones at the house, it's kind of hard to make those trips sometimes.
It's funny you touch on it because, we cover, obviously, the state of Washington, and I go to a lot of events up there. And right now, mixed cards are taking off because the Thai scene has exploded. The Thai fighting scene has just ridiculously exploded up there. So we're seeing a lot of mixed cards with MMA and Thai fights. It's, for me, as a fan, it's great, and as media. But, yeah, if you ever get a chance to take some time and come up here to the Pacific Northwest, you would definitely enjoy yourself.
Yeah, that would be great.
So, Tyler, let's talk about this upcoming fight on August 15th. How are you preparing for this fight? What is your fight camp doing differently this time?
Just training hard, not doing too much different. We've evolved some, just added in some new things that we're trying out in practice. But really just keeping my diet the same. My diet was on point as it's ever been for that last fight, and I've just kept that going. Just training hard, training 3 days a week. I'm in there in the mornings and in the evenings, and then training for MMA, and then the other days I'm in there in the mornings. I'm getting my cardio and my strength and conditioning, and then my workouts in the evening. So just staying on it, just grinding and battling and making sure that whenever we get in there and it's go time, that I'm fully conditioned and ready to go.
You know, a lot of people may not realize this, but you're actually a co-owner, Tyler, of a mixed martial arts gym there in Edmond, Oklahoma. Tell us a little bit about OMA and what you have to offer there.
Oh, yes, OMA, Oklahoma Martial Arts Academy. We offer a lot of things. We offer jiu-jitsu, no gi and gi. We offer Muay Thai under Arjun Parker. We also offer a Sayak Kali. You know, we got people in there that'll teach you how to use knives, how to use sticks, how to use whatever you pretty much anything you want to try and use. Our jiu-jitsu program is run by Seth Norman, who is a brown belt under Robert Drysdale. Man, he's a great coach. He's turned my jiu-jitsu game inside out and upside down and made it what it is. I mean, he's brought me a long way. Arjun Parker, his stand-up coaching is unbelievable. And then also the Kali program. Arjun Parker teaches the sticks, the scream sticks, and the knife and all of that. So we also have Keith Martin who does the CrossFit program. We got a CrossFit program out of the gym. So a lot of stuff going on. Good people, good folks, good families. We're just a big family up there at OMA. And if someone's looking to get better, looking to improve themselves and do it through martial arts, it's a great place to be.
You know, and I can attest to that myself because I really had been thinking about taking a Muay Thai class myself and a jiu-jitsu class, and So last week I was able to come in and train a little bit under Arjan Mark Parker and Seth Norman both. And so I had a great experience. They welcomed me. Everybody welcomed me and treated me just like part of the family. So I'm very appreciative of that and so grateful that you guys gave me that opportunity as well.
Yeah, I was glad. I wasn't in when you showed up, but I was glad to hear you were there. I know everybody that was there when you were enjoyed it. I know the ladies had a good time with you too. We got a great ladies program up there. You know, Janie works with the jiu-jitsu with the ladies up there and does a phenomenal job. And we just got a good crew of women up there. We got women up there that you better not try and take their purses.
Yes, I know that to be true. I experienced my first triangle choke by one of those women, and yeah, I was breathless for a few seconds.
Yeah. It's,
well, you know,
thank you so much.
Go ahead. You were going to do it. I'll let you finish.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just going to say thank you so much, Tyler, for coming on and talking to us tonight. We always appreciate talking to you about the fight game and what's going on in your life. And right now you're 3-0, hoping to make it 4-0, I'm sure, your next fight. So, you know, we wish you good luck, and really great talking to you. Hopefully we'll have you on again here before your next fight.
Yeah, that would be great. I sure appreciate you guys getting us on here and giving us the opportunity to promote the fights and to get out there and talk about MMA in general.
You know, and right before we leave, I want to go ahead and give you an opportunity, like I have the other fighters, to go ahead and give any shout-outs to any sponsors or anybody that you'd like to talk about tonight.
Yeah, definitely. First and foremost, to God for the talents to get out here and do this. And then I want to shout-out to my sponsors. I got Marvin Lopez at Lopez Tile. He's my biggest sponsor. Marvin takes great care of me. If you need anything done, flooring needs, anything like that, hit me up on Facebook. And I'll get you in touch with Marvin Lopez. I got Dr. Jeff Hijazi, Back to Wellness Chiropractic, takes care of my body, keeps me lined up and ready to go. I've got Emory Electric. My buddy is over at Emory Electric. You got any electrical needs, they'll take care of you. And then just want to thank Doc Fremberger and Mike Hayes for what they do for me as well. And just thank my coach and staff again, Seth Norman, Coach Mike Parker, all my training partners in the gym. We got a stable full of studs over there, and I just appreciate all of them getting me ready. And then I want to thank my family, my wife Kim, and my babies Graceland and Gaines. I love them so much, and just appreciate them letting me live my life and chase my dreams.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Tyler, for being on tonight. And I believe we have your opponent, Chris Brooks, ready to talk to us tonight about his fight coming up on August 15th as well. Chris, are you there?
Hi, I'm here.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys?
Great.
We're doing good. Great. First show here, Rage in the Cage Hour on MMA Madhouse. So exciting night. You get to be a part of that.
Good. I'm very excited. Thank you guys for having me tonight. Appreciate that.
So
you're out of Dallas, Texas area. Is that right?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. And yeah. Skippy, go ahead.
I was going to say, for the fans out there listening who might not live in your region, especially because we got a lot of fans who listen all over the world, why don't you give them a little short bio, tell them everybody who you are, where you train out of, and what your record is.
My name is Chris Speaking Brooks. I get the nickname Speaking because I make a habit of quick KOs and TKOs in my victories. Here as of late, I've been fighting a lot of local Oklahoma fighters such as J.C. Cantrell in my last fight and Jared Stone in the fight before that. A couple of top 155 contenders. Unfortunately, didn't go my way here, so I've had a little skid as of late. I have a 500 record here at 7-7, fighting out of Dallas, Texas area, Allen, Texas, out of Archangel MMA. But, yeah, I'm here to correct the wrongs and come back to Oklahoma City and make it my home. So we're looking forward to W.
I like it.
Awesome. So you mentioned you had a couple of fights here in Oklahoma recently.
Yes, correct.
Okay, and both of those, you said losses, unfortunately?
Yeah, both fights came out, controlling both the stand-up and the takedown. Took both Jared Spoon down and Jason Control down in the first round. But both guys have a pretty solid ground game, so got caught in submissions there. But control the stand-up, I would say. And I think both guys have said the same thing. A couple great guys, have nothing but mad respect for them. But, you know, like I said, I'm refocused here. You know, a little bit of knick-knack injuries at the shoulder have subsided, so I'm ready to go, and I think it's going to be good.
Awesome. Tell us, what do you think your strengths are?
My strengths for sure would have to be my striking. I'm 6'1", 155 pounds, so I have a lot of range. Secondary black belt in Tong Sudo martial arts. With that, it's going to be a lot of exciting kicks, strikes from all different angles, spinning back kicks, front kicks, low kicks. So be prepared to see a lot of strikes that you might not usually see in a typical wrestling, grappling exhibition, so to speak. So, you know, I'm going to make sure that I force Tyler to stand up with me and, you know, let's see what he has as far as stand-up goes.
You say you're more of a stand-up guy, but you did wrestle correctly in high school and won some championships then.
Yeah, correct. Allen High School is a high school here in outside of Dallas, Texas, in North Texas area. Five-time defending state champion is Allen High. I was a part of one of the championship wrestling teams, state qualifier back at 145. So I do have a wrestling game, and I know how to control a match and keep it standing up if need be. So that's what I plan on doing here, and you know, representing for Allen.
You know, I see on your bio, I'm looking at it right now, it says you've never been knocked down since turning pro in 2008. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. Like I said, I take pride in my stand-up game, and I have a very good coach with Archangel, Angelo Gordia, as well. I've trained with Saxon, one of the best Muay Thai coaches here in Dallas, Texas, really in the nation. So I'm very confident in my stand-up. You know, knock on wood, I've never had a knockout or TKO on my record, a loss against me. So, like I said, I'm very confident in my stand-up, and I don't see anything here happening differently.
You know, Chris, something I found interesting about you is you're a male model. So, you know, I have to ask, do you worry at all about somebody messing up your face in these fights? Looking at your Facebook site, I'm not kidding you. I mean, you've got probably 20 pictures of recent modeling gigs that you've done. So has that ever been any kind of concern to you?
Well, I mean, no. You know, like I said, I've been fighting here professionally since 2008. So I found a good balance between the modeling gigs as well as my fights. And, you know, doing the modeling, it's a little bit extra motivation to not get hit in the face. So, you know, it all works out in the end.
Kelly, that's really, it's just quite a, you know, 360, I guess, as far as, you know, the different career paths that you chose. How did you end up in two different careers?
Well, yeah, it's definitely kind of a heckling thing and, you know, jog kind of thing. But, you know, basically for me, I couldn't catch a football back in high school. I couldn't play basketball. You know, so for me, wrestling was my outlet in high school. I got into that, did pretty good. Got into martial arts, did pretty good in that as well. Once I graduated, I missed the competition of wrestling, but I wasn't ready for college wrestling at that point in my life. So I decided to turn pro in mixed martial arts. And that took off, and with that lifestyle, I realized that I needed to devote a lot of time to training, and I had a hard time holding down a typical 9-to-5, also trying to train 40 hours a week. That's very difficult, so, you know, at a full-time basis, so to speak. But so what I did there was kind of saw what different outlets I could do and balance both MMA and another job. A buddy of mine said, hey, man, you might want to check out these guys, Ken Dawson, agency out of Dallas, call, and started working for different clients, and ever since then, it's been my my bread and butter along with the fighting. So I feel pretty blessed, and definitely all glory goes to God for everything I do have.
Hey, I got a question. Obviously, we just had your opponent on. He, you know, he has a little bit of, you know, stand-up game as well. Is this a fight you see staying on the feet? Is that, you know, obviously you're going to implement your game plan to the best of your ability, but is this a fight you would like to keep standing up? Hello?
Did we lose him?
We did. Let me call him right back.
Okay.
I'm going to call him live on. Yeah, I'll just call him live on the air if it's set
okay.
up right. Let's see.
I'm sure that happens every once in a while.
Yeah, it does. And he's back live with
somebody
us.
Somebody hits the wrong button.
Yeah, sorry about that. There's my cheek there hanging up the phone. My apologies.
Hey, I was asking before we lost you, you know, we just talked to your opponent. He's got some Thai experience as well. Obviously, you're very proud, and you believe your stand-up game is very solid. So is this a fight you would like to keep standing up?
Yeah, you know, I definitely look forward to striking with all my opponents, you know, and not to knock the grappling game. I know he has some Pan Am experience, and he's done very well in that grappling circuit. You know, I also have a Naga No-Gi Championship to my credit in 2012, so I have some grappling as well. But to me, I think a lot of times it's about the fans, too, and putting on a good show. A lot of guys get caught up in just trying to get an easy victory, so to speak, without really testing their full range and full array of skills as an MMA fighter. So, you know, I just challenge my guys that I fight to put on a good show and hey, man, let's test all aspects. We'll go on the ground. We'll also go standing up and see who's the better guy at the end of the day. And that's all I like to do my fights.
You've got about, you know, 7 wins, 7 losses, so about 14 fights as a pro. What are some of your most interesting MMA stories or moments?
Well, one of my most proud moments for sure. It seems though I do really well once I get hit pretty hard. Like I said, I never had any knockdowns, but I've definitely taken some pretty hard hits in my career. One of my fights back in McAllen, South Texas, for STFC, you know, I went ahead and got my jaw broken. It was my first time fighting up at 170. Broke my jaw during the first round, in the first early moments of the round. He got me with a hook punch, and then just got him with a Muay Thai clinch and knocked him out with the knee right shortly thereafter. So that was one of my more exciting moments, and I did the old Aaron Rodgers discount double check, you know what I mean, to get the fans fired up. So that was a pretty cool moment, and, you know, I felt like a mini celebrity there for a day or two. So, you know, it's been a lot of good stuff like that. It comes with ups and downs, but definitely seeing, you know, fans being inspired and, you know, inspiring your family and friends and also them giving you encouragement is really what it's all about, and that's what I look forward to doing.
I'm kind of curious, you know, coming from the Dallas area, you have a lot of, obviously, you know, great gyms around there. Are you getting any cross-training done for this camp, or are you strictly sticking in-house with your normal team?
You know, I strictly stick in-house as far as my technique goes. I'm very confident with that technique that I am getting. But as far as grappling and sparring sessions go, I'm always down to get into a new gym and cross-train with guys. I think that's probably the only way to really do it right now in mixed martial arts because guys are getting so good so fast because it's such a niche market right now in MMA. Everybody's diving into the game, and everybody has something to contribute. So you can learn something from a beginner or the most advanced level MMA guy. So I'm trying to get in there with as many guys as possible to answer your question.
Cool. Cool.
Very cool.
Well, Kimber, I was going to say, before we run out of time, you know, if there's anybody you'd like to give any shout-outs to, any sponsors you want to thank, or any social media information so the fans around the world can follow you, please feel free to take some time.
Yeah, you can hit me up here on Instagram. Follow me at Mr_ChrisJBrooks. Also on Facebook, you can look me up, same as well, Chris J. Brooks, my email address. You can look me up that way if you know me personally. But outside of that, I just wanted to thank a couple sponsors, CrossFit here in Wiley where I stay, also Smoothie Factory down the street, and all my family and friends giving me support and giving me the courage to go out there and put on a show for you guys. And, you know, like I said, I'm from the Dallas, Texas area, but I look at Oklahoma as a second home. I've been down there now several times, and I can't wait to put on a show for you guys here coming up shortly.
Okay, I got to ask, are you a Longhorn or are you an Aggie fan?
Oh, man, you know, I tell you what, the best football game ever was old boy Vince Young and Reggie Bush. I'm going to have to go Longhorns. I'm a UT fan for sure, man. I like Longhorns.
Yes,
oh, goodness.
I just want to tell you, you
yes.
rock, sir.
you
made Skippy's night, that's for sure.
For sure, for sure. You a Longhorn fan too, man?
You know, I was at the last Southwest Conference game ever held at A&M, which was obviously the UT game. I'm a huge UT fan. I bleed burnt orange. My truck's burnt orange. My kids have it hanging in their bedroom. So, and I live in Duck Nation in Oregon. So I have a lot to deal with trying to carry the pride of the Texas Longhorns tradition here in Oregon, but I'm doing a good job.
There you go. There you go. Well, keep representing, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. It was a great interview.
Hey, you guys too. Appreciate it. Keep doing what you're doing.
Sounds great. You as well. Can't wait to see you on August 15th for Raising the Cage 30.
All righty. Let's go. Speed King, let's go.
Have
awesome.
A good night.
Thank you so much.
All right, guys. Take it easy.
Bye. Now, Kimber, you have lined up just a lot of great guests tonight. We got the fans around the world got to meet some great athletes, some great trainer. Obviously, we got to meet Pastor Ken tonight as well. All the way around, man, just a phenomenally great show for the debut on the Madhouse Radio Production Network. And I'm looking forward to 100 more of these shows with you, young lady.
Oh, man, that feels so good. I can't believe it. We're finally finishing our first show, so felt good.
Great job, great guests. They all did a wonderful job. You know, I've gotten a lot of fans who are really happy with tonight's show. So, you know, I can't thank you enough for you and the Rage in the Cage family coming to the Madhouse Networks to team up to really open the fans' eyes to what's going on in the Oklahoma MMA scene. And it's great because we got to talk to guys at every level tonight. You know, we get to talk to trainers. And this is the kind of show and the kind of format you fans can expect, you know, from this point on. I can't guarantee you I'll always be co-hosting because eventually she wants to have somebody cooler. But, you know,
I don't know about that. I'm pretty impressed.
Why don't you take some time tonight and give some shout-outs to who you want and any thank yous to who you want to give thank yous to?
Well, you know, basically I want to start with thanking you for having me on your show and the MMA Madhouse Network, and we're so appreciative. But I also want to thank our owner, Mike Crawford, for giving me this opportunity to do the media for Rage in the Cage, and hopefully I've helped bring Rage in the Cage up to another level as far as the media goes, and I'm just appreciative of the opportunity to do that. I want to thank Ken Kerbo, Pastor Kerbo, for his segment on our show, and then also for being at all of our events and offering that service to our fighters. I'm really appreciative of that, and just want to thank all of the fighters for coming on our show and supporting Rage in the Cage. I mean, we have such a huge support system, and I'm so grateful for each and every one of them. And like I said, I mean, once they've been on a card and I've gotten to know them, a lot of these fighters I consider my friend. Some of them have even come on our Rage in the Cage staff because they care so much about this organization and they want to see us succeed. Dee Birchfield is one of those who has fought for Rage in the Cage, but he is he just really cares about this organization and seeing us make it somewhere and seeing these Oklahoma fighters be supported by an organization that really, truly cares about them. We don't just care about putting on an event and seeing a great night of fights, but we actually care about the fighters themselves. And I hope that comes across to all of them. And at least the feedback that I've got from a lot of the fighters see that have told me that they see a difference when they fight for Rage in the Cage, and they, you know, they feel the family type atmosphere that we try to put forward on all of our shows. So, you know, I'm just appreciative of having this opportunity to be working with Rage in the Cage, but also being able to take that to the next level with MMA Madhouse. So,
well, we're super excited to have you and the whole team on board with us. And like I said, we're looking forward to really, you know, bringing light to the Oklahoma scene. You know, MMA Topics, another company we own, they cover the Midwest from Oklahoma, Missouri, Arkansas. So, you know, between Madhouse and Topics, we're going to really be able to help promote your company, your events, the fighters, And now that we own rearnakedsmoke.net, which is a local MMA video and stream site, one more place where you guys are going to be able to find interviews. Right now we have all the Rage in the Cage 29 interviews up there, and we're going to have promo videos, highlights, all kinds of different stuff on all our networks for you fans to really be able to learn about the fighters, about the events, about the team behind it. And I'm looking forward to next week already with you.
Oh, me too, me too. Lots of exciting things happening for Rage in the Cage. I mean, from this radio show to some possible bigger venues, we are selling out all of our current venues. So hopefully, you know, just really good news to share, and hopefully each week we can share just a little bit more about the awesome things that are coming, not just towards Rage in the Cage, but fighters that that we support on our cards. So we're just appreciative of everything that's happening in Oklahoma and the surrounding states as far as the opportunities for these fighters to grow.
Well, next week, folks, for right now, at least for the next few months, if not permanently, we're going to be on Monday nights at the same time. Next week, you guys need to join us. We'll wrap this show up here now. Since we don't have an outro, we're going to go ahead and play Pastor Ken to wrap the show up again, his words of encouragement. And I end every show the same way, young lady. I say eagle, and then I usually hit the button. So if you have anything you'd like to say before we wrap it up, please go at it.
Well, I guess basically the only thing I want to say is that if any of you are anywhere near the Oklahoma City area, be sure and make it to Rage in the Cage 30. It's happening in Oklahoma City on August 15th. If you want any more information about Rage in the Cage or the fighters featured on tonight's show, of course, go to MMA Madhouse here on Facebook or Twitter, or come over to Rage in the Cage Oklahoma. Look us up on Facebook. Basically, if you want tickets to the show, you can go to ticketstorm.com, or you can contact any fighter on the card because they do have tickets in hand to sell.
And well,
I thank all of you for being here.
I want to thank you. It was a great show. And I will talk to you away from the show, so don't hang up. Everybody, eagle.
Alisa Hope Wagner said, when I trained for my MMA fight, I sparred with several different women. Sparring is extremely important because it prepares you for the cage. However, sparring hurts. One woman I sparred threw me against the cage, forcing her shoulder and all of her body weight into my chest. I felt my sternum crunch, so I took a visit to the ER. Another woman hit my nose, causing it to swell and bruise, and every additional punch to my face felt like a hammer. After each injury, my sparring partners would give me a hug and say, good job. They didn't feel guilty about the pain they inflicted because they knew they were helping me find my victory. Sounds strange, doesn't it? But they were breaking me down so I could become stronger. By the time I entered the cage, my injuries were healed and I was strong. After 1 minute and 9 seconds, I won my fight by TKO. I gave my opponent a hug and said, God will break you down, but I promise he will build you back up again. God needs to unleash this amazing potential in each of us, and he can only do it when we are broken and surrendered to him.